If you don't live for God right now on this earth, don't expect to go and live with God afterward. You got to show that right here. Why we see death? Death is a sign that lets you know your life's not your own.
Hello, everyone. This is Mark Smith, and I am so proud and honored to be with Twisted Youngins today. It's a story of love and redemption, and hopefully you'll see where I came from. And you know what? I hope you're motivated. Let God work in your life.
What's up, guys? Thank you for tuning in to Twisted Youngins, the most unorthodox show on the globe. As always, we hope everyone is having a blessed day, staying safe, staying out of the way. And if you aren't saved, now would be a perfect time to get saved, get in the Word of God. Tomorrow or the next minute, the next hour is not promised to us. And so, as always, I am one of your hosts, Myra B. King.
And this is Desi Dash, and today we have a special guest. Please introduce yourself.
Hey, my name is Mark Smith. I'm from Fayetteville, Tennessee, originally from Atlanta, Georgia.
Welcome
also, to the show. Well, thank you. I'm sorry. Well, thank you for welcoming me. Okay, thank you a lot.
Okay, so you're from Tennessee?
Yes, I'm coming to you from the metropolis of Fayetteville, Tennessee, population 21,000.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow, born and raised.
No, I actually was born and raised close to Atlanta, Georgia. Yes.
Okay. How was it growing up in Georgia?
In an A-town, in an A.
That's it, baby. Come on. Well, I'll tell you, being born in 66 the way I was, it was a lot different than what you see now. Through the late 60s and early 70s, the racism was horrible. If I can just give you an example, there was a politician from Georgia. His name was J.B. Stoner. And he was a KKK member, openly, but running for the United States Senate from Georgia in 1972. You can actually pull up his political TV ads and so forth. And I'll tell you, as a young kid, I look at it and I didn't like it then because it was so anger driven. But in one of his commercials, in 30 seconds, he used the N word like 12 times. Mm. Isn't that horrible to think about that? So, you know, I saw that. Also, behind my dad's gas station, it was common. I didn't know who these people were. I just walked up to them. They were wearing white gowns. I had no idea who they were. And so Georgia was a lot different. It was a lot more segregated, I guess is what you'd say. There was really a defined hate. And so I think that's what's changed me when I got out of the wrestling business, because basically I had to, and found my faith, found Christ, found my faith, my eyes were open in such a way that I didn't grow up saying racial things or anything like that. But, you know, they were always stuck in the back of my brain because that's what you hear when you grow up. And so they think of the deep, you know, the South and Southern hospitality. That's true. But, you know, to be honest, it's for a certain group of people. And at least I'm honest about that. And I'm not trying to speak ill, you know, I'm not trying to speak ill of anyone. But being raised in the South in that time was a lot different than now. And what's sad is I walk through when I'm at home and I go to Atlanta and I'm walking down the streets and everything. I'm saying hi to everybody. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they look like. Hey, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Just stand, talk to people and everything. And you see some people walk by and they just look like they're scared to death. Mm. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy seeing barriers broken. I love that. And I swear, either one of you, if I could have your hair, I would love it, man. Dude, your hair is cool. I'm telling you what. And, you know, why can't we just all get along and laugh and have a good time? And through today, I think that's what you're going to see, because I make fun of myself. There's so much of me to make fun of. It's ridiculous. Anyway, but that's what the South used to be.
So did you hear of anything happening? Like anything like, you know,
lynchings?
Yeah, lynchings.
Yes.
Burning.
Forsyth County, Georgia. Yes. Forsyth County. And, you know, just the overall sayings that you would hear. It was, you know, people of different color, they were treated as objects, or they were talked about as objects. And I'm so glad. I love seeing the world change in the way that we're right here. We're talking about it. My son was formerly named Jamarcus. He wanted to change his name to Jefferson. And when we adopted him in April of last year, it was him and his half brother. And I hugged him. And there's a real funny story about him. But I'm just so glad we can talk the way we are. And you know what? Tastefully and everything, we can have fun on each other. We can rib each other. I mean, come on.
How did you, you know, how was it in high school for you?
Well, in high school, I played ball. So
what kind of ball?
Okay, I was right guard and linebacker. And then I turned around in baseball. I started buying, when I was working at the gas station, my dad's gas station, my dad had a lot of anger problems. And I'll tell you, some of the severe things that were happening to people were white on white as well. People that couldn't handle their past or thing, they couldn't process things. And so abuse was kind of handed down. It was almost like a cycle. My dad was beaten with chains by his own dad.
Wow.
And so, hey, I used to get, you know, cold cocked, bam. Last time my dad hit me and I didn't go down, it scared him to death. And so I saw that, and I'm proud to say me and my kids, we get along great. They've gotten their whoopings and everything growing up. But you know what? You whoop them right a couple, three times. You don't ever have to whoop them again. So, well, you know, we've been, you know, and I use a paddle if I would have to do it. You know, I would use a paddle. I don't believe in razor straps and stuff like that. I don't want to leave a mark on a kid. You know, correction is correction, and you love them afterwards.
Right. And spread a ride.
So, your dad had a gas station?
Yes.
And
go ahead.
So your dad had a gas, how was that since you were born? Like, how did he get into
much. He had a gas station, and he had the bad anger problems. He could explode in a second. And of all things, this is the honest truth. As far as employees, it was mainly minorities, and they would almost like have to put on a show for them.
When you say minorities, do you mean black people?
Yes, 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 yeah, African-American people.
Okay.
And they would almost, man, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you, but it's sad.
No, go ahead.
It's sad. Okay. They would talk about taking each other in the back and making them grab the chicken wire. They used to get a noose and throw it over the lights. My dad would just think it was hilarious. Me, I didn't interact with that. I just couldn't. And I can see your face, brother. You're going, man. But you know what? That's kind of, that's sad. I mean, Yeah. And you know what's awesome, the way God changes people, is you look at, I would see that stuff going on, and yet today, I have an African-American son. And my son, you know, he's hilarious. He's 13. He just turned 13 in September. He told me one day, it was getting dark outside. I said, son, come on in. Because we would throw the football together. That day he happened to be throwing with a friend. I said, come on in. He said, Dad, I don't need to. I said, what do you mean? It's getting dark. I don't want you to get hit. He says, no, Dad, I'm black. I can see in the dark. And that, yeah, he was joking. So when we are at the adoption, he looks at me and he says, you know, you're black too now. I said, I know, that's fine. I don't care. And a night or two later, we have a mirror in our room and I positioned it. So when their door was open, I could make sure that when they went to bed, they weren't getting up and playing. Well, the lights were off. And I could see him moving a little bit. I said, Jefferson, get back in bed. He said, wow, Dad, you really are black, aren't you?
So I have a question for you. Did you grow up in the church?
Yeah, I grew up in the church. But to me, it was a fake church.
Okay. Now,
go ahead.
What denomination was your church, sir?
Baptist. Southern Baptist.
And was it like predominantly white?
Oh, yeah. Now, all white.
So how did, you know, your church view black people while, you know, they're in the Bible, reading the Bible, I would assume. Mm-hmm. How did that segregation come into biblically, I want to say? Yeah.
Well, you know, I believe there were just some things people were uncomfortable talking about. And when they're uncomfortable talking about it, they're not going to raise a stink. They're just going to go on with the pro quo, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the way things would be handled. And I'm sure it was handled differently, maybe in the Northeast or, you know, wherever. But as far as Caucasian people growing up, it was a very common thing. You go to church, you know, there was the white church, black church, everything. Me and my wife used to, we cut a few albums and such, and we would go over to the African-American church and worship with them because they had the better music. And they would come to us and hand us the sheet music afterwards. We'd say, thank y'all so much. And we'd be hugging on them and stuff, but you wouldn't see another white person in there. And I love it today because our church we attend, it is multiracial. And I love that. That's the way it ought to be.
Go ahead. You can finish the story.
No, I was just saying it is biblical that everyone, Jesus did not say he came to save a certain race. He did. Well, I should say maybe so because of the human race. And I believe all lives matter. I really do. And so, you know, I hate to see the division the way it is. And when I wrote the book, Wrestling with Demons, it was because I'm looking at people to rip people out of cars and beat them to death. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing the carjackings going on. People are afraid to go to work. And I mean, it's all colors of people. You shouldn't have to worry about getting out of your house and going to your job. And white, black, whoever, polka dotted, I don't care. Right.
Well,
go ahead, buddy.
What brought you to Christ?
Well, I was a professional wrestler for WCW. It was owned by Ted Turner. I had been wrestling. I wrestled like The Undertaker before he was The Undertaker, Stone Cold Steve Austin when he was Stunning Steve Austin, Ric Flair. I've been with them all. And, but I made a really bad mistake. I was married at that time and had been married for about 3 years. And I went from Mark Smith, a guy who wrestled, to Mark Smith, the wrestler. Mark Smith, the wrestler, who identified only as a wrestler, had that cocky ego, pro-abortion, pro-anything that would keep people out of my life if I thought they may hinder arresting. And so I'm this guy, and I think if I do go and, you know, like a make-a-wish at a hospital or something, I think I'm doing something really big. Oh boy, look at me, blah, all that kind of crap. And you can tell from my degrees, I don't talk like old English or the King's English. I don't go thee, thou, and whatever. People don't generally talk that way. I talk just the way we're talking right now. But I walked in off a wrestling trip. This woman, I never physically abused her, but I'll tell you, mentally, I was a waste of humanity. I was a waste because I was sucking up oxygen that other people, better people than me, needed. And finally, I walked in on off a wrestling trip. She is laying on the bed on her stomach. I walk up to her. There's a strange noise, almost like a cackling. I don't know how to explain it. So different. I never heard it. I asked her if she was okay. I turned her over. And when I did, something pushed me on the floor. I went and drove in the car because I was scared to death. Well, I had not been a church person in a long time. You know, when you grow up with abuse and things like that, and you're the same people that take you to church, you basically think everybody's pretty much fake. That's the way I look at church, it's a fake. And so I went, drove, came back. She's totally composed. Trying to figure out what's going on. Well, she said, I'm leaving. Couldn't blame her. She left. I'm cleaning out the bathroom, picking up stuff out of the trash can and everything, and I find a little stick. It's pink on the end. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure what it was. Went and asked asked the family member. They said it's a positive pregnancy test. Now, I'm going to say this. If there was, as far as I know, there was never a baby born. I tried to make contact. I wanted to get back together. I was realizing I was really screwing up. She had had it. I can't blame her. Now, if I was to sit here and tell you that I knew she had an abortion, I'd be lying. I don't know. I do know if anything like that happened, I was the cause of it. I'm the killer. I think you can tell. When I really found out who Jesus was, I learned how to take responsibility for my actions. And so finally, everybody was out of my life that meant anything. I had wasted my life. I was in tears. I remember I was visualizing that I was in a dark hole, and I looked up. And I was bitter. I said, okay, fella, you say you can do all this stuff, do something, show me. I challenged him. Well, God's big enough to be challenged. You can challenge him. Come on. Has he ever lost a challenge? No. He's wrestled. Remember with Jacob? He wrestled. And I'll tell you what, I wrestled with him. And this is what I found out. It's a book I'm about to start writing. Did you know, if you're in a wrestling ring and you're in one corner and I'm in the other corner, and if we've never really spoken to each other, we don't know each other, do we? We don't. We're apart. But yet, when we get together and we get entangled, all of a sudden, there's zero distance between us. You get where I'm coming from? There's zero distance between you. You feel the strength of that person. They feel the strength of you. You can kind of see where things were going. Jacob knew he wasn't going to whip God. He knew it. But what he did was he found out the beauty of God, because God could have killed him in a split second, didn't do it. God, in a way, God, and I believe God enjoyed closeness. He got to really, from zero distance, got to know Jacob. Because so many times, and it happens when people, when they become a Christian with the best intention, sometimes it's actually hard to turn over everything. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
But I wrestled with God. When I said, okay, you win, I really gave up. I gave up to him. I said, come on, you're my tag team partner for life now. Because the Bible tells me that I can win, I can be the victor in all this stuff, all these problems, I can come out okay. But the thing is, I've got to tag you in. You're the one that's going to win. It's through you. Well, I had to learn to let God be my tag team partner and be the leader of the tag team.
And how old were you at this point when all this is occurring?
Oh, let's see. I'd have been 91, 92.
Okay.
About 25, 26 years old.
Wow.
I mean, I broke in the wrestling business so early that I had to satisfy my mama. She just thought college was going to straighten me out. Well, it didn't. In fact, I probably bit college a little bit, because I went in and I remember being drunk most of the time. In fact, I was in a typing class and my head went forward and I passed out on the keys. My forehead hit the keys. And my professor came to me, Mark, you okay? Mark? That's what I'm doing. I'm moaning a little bit. So they do grab me by the hair, but they gently pick me up. And I remember my eyes were just like half open. And when my head hit those keys, it spelled something crazy like Bloober Schnoop in there or something like that. You know, they said, what is this, Mark? I said, it's a foreign language. They said, bless your heart, go back to sleep. Well, anyway, I flunked out of that year with a 1.11 GPA. Now, I don't know if y'all realize it, but do you realize how hard I worked that year to be so stupid? I mean, think about it. A 1.11 GPA.
Yeah.
So, you know, I laugh at myself, man. I tell people, you know, I just got confused. You know, I thought Jack Daniels signed the Constitution. I forgot who did what, you know. And, you know, I thought biology was Budweiser. I didn't know the difference. But anyway, but man, I tell you what. I remember the day that where all this hate was, it was like somebody took a water hose, put it into my navel, and just everything just came out. And I was clean. I was different. For the first time, I could look at myself in the mirror and be glad of who I was. Now, as ugly as I am, that's something. Think about that. You know? And so, yes, God makes a difference. That's how. And now you look today, been married 31 years, 8 children, multiracial. I mean, you come in our house, you think you've walked in the United Nations. That's what it looks like. You know, so, you know, I like I said, I can look at myself and laugh. I can laugh because by the grace of God, I made it through it. But I know not everybody does. Some people are beaten down so bad.
You got adopted kids?
Oh, yeah. I got 8 total, 5 adopted. When my wife found out that a courtroom was easier to have a baby than natural, you know, we joke about that. We we went ahead and adopted. When we were fostering, and I tell people this, do not foster the child shop. That's not what we did. We never intended on adopting anybody. But two groups of siblings, and then a girl that, I mean, my gosh, you'd have swore she was one of the first kids we ever got. And I swear, if there was ever a kid that you'd have said she's the spawn of Satan, that was the girl. I tell you what, she liked to drove us crazy. Well, after she had been gone about 3 years from our house, 4 years, I get a note on Messenger, and it's from her. She lists out everything she did. She said, "Dad, I'm sorry. Can I be part of the family?" I said, "Honey, you've always been part of the family." Well, Christmas a year ago, she gave me adult adoption papers, and she is our daughter now. I did her wedding, and now she has one of my grandchildren, and I was just talking to him yesterday. And if she comes to the house, I go, "Here, honey, this is yours." And her husband, he calls me Pops, and he says, "Pops, you're the dad I've never had."
Amen.
And he said, "You know, I can tell you stuff that I can't even tell my biological father about." I said, "Well, okay, son. Well, I'm always here for you. But if I give Cheyenne, her name's Cheyenne, if I give Cheyenne something, and if Joe goes to touch it," she said, "my daddy, you get your hands off that. My daddy gave me that." Yeah.
Have you had any dreams? Like, whether demonic or from God?
Dreams.
Yeah.
Dreams, as is, you know, like, have you been spiritually attacked in your dreams? Have the Lord sent you dreams? Have Satan tried to get to you or tempt you with certain things in your dreams?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, the temptations have been real. Mm-hmm. I mean, in real life. I'll give you, for instance, I was a youth minister. Can't tell you the location, or it may let somebody know something. Mm-hmm. But I was a youth minister. I was also associate pastor of the church. And we were having a Super Bowl party with several families. And a lady said, "Mark, I got to go pick up blah, blah, blah. Will you ride with me? I just need to talk." "Sure." Having some marital problems. And, you know, I was put in a position that if I wanted to have taken advantage of the situation, I could. I've also seen a pastor that stole from the church. And they tried to bribe me from saying anything. But I had to call a meeting.
Amen.
I don't worry. If something that hits me in a dream, it's not real. I'm okay with it if that happens. But the temptations have been real. I could have patted my pocket. I could have done the wrong things. But then again, if I'd have done that, I wouldn't be having the opportunity to speak with you right now, because there's no way God's plan would have led me to y'all and to the other podcasts and radio shows, TV shows I'm on, etc. Because I can't get in front of people and lie and be a liar. Well, not and be a Christian. Go ahead.
I do believe, like, you know, your dreams, they are real. I believe it's spiritual. Mm-hmm. I believe that, you know, of course you can come under attack, you know. Devil can, you know, the demons can come and, you know, have sex with you. Those are incubus and succubus spirits, and that's why we have to pray against these things. That's why the warfare are not carnal, but, you know, that's why we got to have this spiritual spiritual armor, you know, because we're so, mm-hmm. you know, You got to pray against these things, and God sends dreams as well. So I don't think it's not fake, but I also think, you know, of course you can have worldly temptations. You know, the devil's going to tempt you in different ways. And just like you just said, that you had an opportunity where you could have took advantage of that situation with that woman, and you could have been able to be bribed by that man. You know, if your mindset was not on Christ and it was on financial gain, you would have took the money and been quiet about it. I'm pretty sure it's people around the world that's that it probably took that money, you know, because these type of situations will reoccur, you know.
Right. And, you know, part of me in dreams, let me explain that. It's because of all the concussions I've had, I'm being for real, that I take a couple medications because I'll tremor if I don't take them. And so because of that, I think my brain may be a little bit more relaxed. You know, it's like when I go to sleep, boom, when I open my eyes, the night's already gone by. And plus, because of pain and stuff like that, I've had three joint replacements. I've got bone spurs on multiple parts of my spine. You know, I've had my shoulder broken twice. You know, ribs, the whole thing. But to deal with that pain, it's I don't sleep very long. I sleep in when I say I sleep in the morning, and I wake up in the morning, I may have only slept about three or four hours. I have a very erratic sleep schedule because of the injuries. You know, wrestling is a lot more real than what people think it is. You can't fake gravity.
Well, we definitely appreciate you giving us your time and sharing your testimony and speaking about things that may be really sensitive towards you. And thank you for opening up. And but may the Lord continue to bless and cover you and your family on your spiritual journey. And again, appreciate your time.
Well, y'all are great. I mean, really, I love y'all to death, man. You're great. I love to see him smile. Yeah, and you've got a really pretty smile.
Thank you.
You've got a when you smile, I know it's real. You just don't smile for anything. You smile when it's either funny or whatever. And I've caught you smiling a few times. And you know what? That helped make my day. See you smile.
Amen.
I appreciate it. Now, I did write the book Wrestling with Demons. It's right here. Now, let me explain something. Yes, it is a memoir, part of it. But like we talked about with the things going on in society, you know, there's a lot of demonic stuff going on. There's people that have been just wounded so deeply, and they have not been able to process or turn that over to God yet. But maybe because it's just too traumatic. Sometimes we run from problems. I don't believe that everything is happening just because people are awful people. I think things are being stirred inside of people. And I think Jesus, like y'all probably do, Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
So with the book, if nothing else, it's for a lot of people, they'll say, hey, he's been where I'm at. And sometimes it's very soothing to know that you're not alone. And so my prayer is that if someone needs it, they get it on Amazon. It's on Amazon. If they need it, they get it. Notice how I said that. I didn't go ask just everybody to go do anything. If you need it, get it. And y'all have my information. If anyone would like to talk or if they want prayer, I know y'all would pray with them. Hey, I'll pray with them too. Let's just, with every show I go on, it's just another extension of God's big ministry.
Okay, we'll be sure to include your email in.
Okay.
So anyone watching, they'll be able to reach out to you.
All right,
great. They'll be able to contact you that way. And again, thank you, sir.
Hey, thank y'all. I hope y'all have an awesome day, okay? Thanks, guys. Go Atlanta. All right.
Go Atlanta.